Hello, and welcome to this new show called Ayurveda, The Science of Life, on UK Health Radio. My name is Dr. Oscar Adukon. I'm working as an Ayurvedic practitioner in Belfast, Northern Ireland, following a career working as a GP, family doctor, throughout the UK and Ireland. In this show, I will introduce the listener to the ancient system of medicine known as Ayurveda, which is still in use today and growing in popularity worldwide. I will explain the origins and principles of Ayurveda and give clear, simple, understandable explanations for how it can work in our modern lives. I will discuss how Ayurveda can connect us to our own nature, as well as the wider world of nature around us. We are all part of nature and need to restore these connections in our daily lives. I will interview like-minded therapists and health experts to discuss their approach to health and wellness and how it connects with Ayurveda. This show aims to reflect the growing move away from the narrow confines of conventional medicine to a deeper, more holistic and personalized view of health and wellness. Ayurveda is a nature-based system which uses food, simple herbal remedies, daily practices, and herbal-based medications to achieve balance of body and mind. So much of the root cause of illness today are caused by our digestion and lifestyle. Ayurveda teaches that everything we do in our lives has an effect upon our well-being and health. On this show, I hope to teach you and show you how learning about Ayurveda will benefit you and your health now and into the future. On today's show, I will talk about Ayurveda in immunity. Immunity is such a topical subject these days, and you understand more and more how important it is to our body. And as I've said before, Ayurveda has understood this for many years. Well, according to Ayurveda, a strong immunity is a product of a good balanced digestion, a strong metabolic fire, or what we call Agni, a well-functioning liver, and a balanced endocrine system, or hormonal system, with the chemical messages that you have in our bodies to have a body function. Immunity is also very much connected to a substance that we call ojas in Ayurveda. It's spelled O-J-A-S. And this translates from the Sanskrit term, which would mean vitality or vigor in our understanding. And it is somewhat difficult to define, but in Ayurveda, ojas and immunity are inseparable. And ojas is defined as the essence of our immunity, what gives us bodily strength, vigor, vitality, or immunity. It is the essence of the product of our digestion as it passes through all the bodily tissues. So it's almost a superfund. It's like the distilled part, the bestest part of our digestion process, what's left after we digest anything. Now, it's a direct reflection of how strong our digestion is. So once again, I come back to this idea that our digestion is critical for our overall health. So a good, strong digestion and metabolism will give us healthy ojas or healthy immunity. And anything that hinders or disturbs that affects our digestion is going to affect our immunity and our health. It is also affected by psychological or issues outside or beyond our digestion, such as a past trauma episodes, our lifestyle choices and habits, our stress levels that we experience, and the quality of our relationships that we have at home and at work. Immunity is protected when we are able to live in the present moment with a type of a detached awareness. So we're not caught up in everything. When our ojas, our immunity, when it's in balance, it shows us having optimal strength and positive immune reactions. And this not only includes the ability to fight off infections, but a kind of a psychological or mental stability. So our immunity is diminished if we're overly stressed, if we're contracted, are caught up in ourselves and selfish. So when it, is out of balance like that, we will develop symptoms such as a fear and anxiety, worries and depression, and we will experience the world in a negative way. Now, we've seen in the last number of years the problems that arise when you have a weakened immune system. You're more susceptible to developing infections, such as the COVID-19. And we saw that there were people who suffered very badly from COVID-19 and others didn't have the same effect. Now, it's difficult to generalize, but in Ayurveda, we look at it as your natural immunity that you have and an acquired immunity that you can get. So the natural immunity is you build up having optimal health, good digestion, and attending to the issues that keep you from becoming infected or becoming, if you do become infected, developing problems with an infection. And the acquired immunity is the immunity we get from a vaccination, for instance. So it's like an artificial type of immunity that's promoted within us, which also has a very beneficial effect. However, it does not replace your natural immunity that you can develop yourself by maintaining good habits, eating, making food choices that are good for your constitution, and remaining balanced. But most importantly, having a balanced and functioning digestive system. These are so important to prevent infections. Vaccinations work for specific infections, but not for all. But if you have a natural immunity that's strong, then you're less likely to develop any of the viral infections that are so common these days. So once again, we have to remember that there are times when we're more susceptible to infections, regardless of whether we have a strong immune system or immunity or not. And these are the times between the seasons. And we see that a lot between winter and spring. There's an increase in the number of chest infections and viruses and colds and coughs. And there are other times we can get summer. We talk about summer flu at times when the seasons are changing and our systems are under more stress and we can become imbalanced in particular doshas. And this can lead us to develop a weakened immunity or have a lower depleted doshas, which makes us susceptible to getting infections. And that makes perfect sense. Now, also, after, say, a particular cleansing procedure, you may have had gone on an extensive fasting regime, or lost weight quickly, or even had a type of a panchakarma, which is an Ayurvedic type of detoxification that's done in a clinic-based setting, and it can weaken your body and make you more susceptible to infections if you don't attend to your self-care after these procedures. And also at significant times of stress or of change in your life. For instance, if you have a job loss, or if there's a death in the family, or even happy events like marriage or the birth of a child, things that will cause a change in your life can make you more susceptible to illness. Sometimes we see people who, when they go on holidays, for the first few days, they can have coughs and cold symptoms because their immunity has dropped after the stress of trying to keep well when they're working so hard prior to the holiday. Now, there are things you can do yourself in order to make it less likely that you are going to stretch or make it more difficult for your immune system to cope. And these are simply to avoid vata-aggravating food. Now, we spoke about vata before. It's made up of the elements of air and space, or ether. And it has qualities such as cold, dry, roughness, subtle, and smooth. But so those types of food would be cold, dry foods, airy foods like crackers and popcorn, some types of vegetables, salad, and broccoli and sprouts, vegetables that generate more air in your system when you break them down and metabolize them.
and cold drinks.
Trying to avoid any imbalance in our digestion, either becoming overactive or underactive or erratic. So trying to maintain our regular meal times and eating according to our constitution and our dosha balance. Avoiding excessive fasting, avoiding alcohol, excessive alcohol, avoiding excessive physical exertion, any sleep deprivation, and any negative emotions. These all have, as you can see, an effect upon our immunity, but especially as well an effect upon our digestion, the balance of our digestion, which will also feed into problems we may have with our immunity and our vitality. So what are the things you can do to strengthen your immune system? Now, in Ayurveda, there's a concept of rasayana. And rasayana is a way of life that tries to maintain your energy levels at optimally high levels. And it's achieved through self-discipline and following daily Ayurvedic routines. And it comes into play, particularly in the later decades, when you're trying to promote longevity and maintaining your health into your later decades. So it's often thought of in the terms of the aging cohort, or the aging part of the population. But it also applies to every age group, regardless of your age. And having this concept where you're positively trying to impact upon your health on a daily basis, particularly by following these daily routines that are recommended, and they are called Adinacharya. It states that, you know, if you can, they seem very basic, they seem very common sense, but more often than not, we forget about them, particularly in the hustle and bustle of our daily busy lives. And by following them, we are paying attention to ourselves. We are doing a self-care practice. It's like it's almost slightly selfish, but we're trying to look after our bodies and our minds through these practices to create balance and maintain optimal health, which is all any of us want. And by doing so, we keep our immunity at high level, so we're resistant to not just infections, but adverse events that happen in our life. Now, this idea of a daily routine is critical in Ayurveda, and routines in modern world are almost frowned upon or looked down upon as boring, and if your routine, you're doing the same thing all the time. They are so important in terms of a daily routine. They are so important to maintain positive health, and they encourage what's called this rejuvenation. You put practices in place, like they're protective practices in place, and they help maintain your immunity and the strength of your immunity. And that's the whole point of them. Now, a simple one is establishing times that you go to bed and times that you wake up and times that you eat your meals. This seems so common sense, but it's so important. And having consistency in this alone is probably one of the most important differences you can make to your health. The night before is when you begin the day, the next day. So if you can get to bed by 10 or 10:30 before your pitta energy starts to kick in and starts to get you agitated and energized when you don't want to be, this is the ideal time. So you need to start a bedtime routine well in advance of the 10 o'clock hour. Rising in the morning when you wake up. The snooze button is your enemy. Once you're up and your mind is awake, it's time to get yourself out of bed, even at the weekend. Now, if you can wake a little earlier every morning, it gives you time to put in place self-care routines. And they could be a breathwork practice, a meditative practice for 10 or 15 minutes, a yoga routine, a short stretching routine, which you would find beneficial, particularly if you're spending a lot of the day sitting in chairs in front of laptop screens, which we all seem to be doing these days. And even a self-massage routine, adding them into our our normal routines of brushing our teeth, brushing our face, having a shower, getting our clothes, getting myself organized, just as much as possible. We can do the organization the night before for the things we need to remember, so we can then focus on our self-care, our little you know, positive habits that we try and get started in the morning. And just one or two, adding them in and seeing how they fit into your morning timetable. But it does mean a little earlier to get up, allows you a little bit more time to get them incorporated into your routine. The morning routine, adding in some new self-care practices, giving yourself some extra time to put them in place, getting yourself to bed the night before to allow you to get up at the earlier time in the morning. These are the critical factors. I'll take a break now. I'll move on to another important topic of diet, and also talk about sleep and appropriate exercises in order to boost your immunity. See you back very shortly.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movement and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to this show, which is all about immunity, baby. And in the last section of the show, I was talking about the morning routine and how important it is to incorporate some self-care practices or even devotional practices to get your body and your mind moving. And some of these I mentioned: yoga, meditation, even some prayer, pranayama, which is a breath work in Ayurveda. It could be qigong or tai chi, or even a short walk in nature. You've got dogs to take for a walk in the morning. If you're lucky enough to live beside water, you can go for a swim if the weather is suitable, or even just doing some writing in a journal, something just to bring you to the present moment and to get you prepared for the day ahead. And get asked about the importance of breakfast and whether it's necessary to have breakfast first thing in the morning. This is a matter of individual choice. It might suit some people to have a breakfast, and others quite often miss breakfast. But what is important is that if they're going to miss breakfast, is to try and bring something with them so they can have some food before lunchtime and they're not getting into that cycle of snacking and eating, making unwise choices for the lunch meal. Which brings me on to the concept of the importance of diet in order to boost your digestion. There are many foods in Ayurveda that are regarded as immune enhancing. Organic fresh milk and ghee, which is used for cooking. Organic ghee particularly have always been valued by Ayurveda as being able to stimulate ojas or to enhance our immunity. And drinking warm milk before bed with a pinch of cardamom or a pinch of turmeric as well are very helpful pre-bedtime drinks to promote relaxation. Now, all sweet, juicy fruits, such as peaches, pears, and plums, bananas, watermelons, grapes, and dates, as I mentioned before, and mangoes are regarded as enhancing our ojas or helping with our immunity. They're foods that can be easily digested and can transform into ojas and into that essence of digestion quicker than other foods. Apples are also considered important because they're a rich source of antioxidants. And cooking them, as I said before, can aid with the digestion, particularly if you are not so keen on the astringent and sharp taste of some of the greener apples. Now, all types of green leafy vegetables are also helpful, such as spinach and kale, watercress, bok choy, and cabbage. If you steam them with digestive spices such as cumin, mustard seeds, or black pepper, garlic, and ginger, they can have an additive effect. They be by boosting your immune strength. Lentils and legumes or beans are often recommended in Ayurveda as they are a very good source of protein and fiber, which can help boost the immune system. And they're also easily digestible when they're cooked with some herbs and spices. In the whole grains and seeds, nuts, such as rice and barley, quinoa, amaranth, almonds, pistachios, poppy seeds, and sesame seeds, these are also positive effects on our immune system because of the nutrients that they have, and they have an ability to help us get rid of the toxins or armor that we can accumulate from a less than optimal digestion. Now, in terms of meat, it's a question I get asked a lot as well. Small amount of meat is fine, but too much meat can be too heavy to digest, so it can create toxins and affect our digestion. Basmati rice and vegetables, another excellent food choice. Hot food, obviously, I'd say again and again, is better than cold food. Try to avoid cold drinks or iced water or ice cold drinks. And it's really probably best to avoid cheese and ice cream in the same respect. All cold food will dampen your digestion and your digestive fire. So they will be more difficult to digest. So really warm, hot food, the best recommendation. And as I said before, drinking hot water, even with a slice of lemon or ginger tea, can help enhance your digestion. Now, the next most important thing, which we hear about again and again, is the importance of sleep. Now, sleep is critically important for our immune system. Any prolonged sleep deprivation will weaken your body's defense system, and you'll be more susceptible to picking up a cold or a cough or any infection. Now, it's not just the length of time you sleep, but it's the timing of your bedtime and your wake time is so important. Well, of course, some of us could get by on different amounts of sleep. If you're a pitta-dominant constitution, 7 or 8 hours is fine for you. But if you're a kapha-dominant constitution, you will need more like the 8 hours or 9 hours that we talk about as being ideal. And sometimes people with a vata constitution, they can manage on a pure hours of sleep. Try and minimize exposure to blue light before you go to bed, at least a few hours, at least a couple of hours beforehand. Ideally, put the screens away altogether and avoid looking at your phone or working on a laptop a couple of hours before bed. And this will help you in a wind down and in your preparation for bed. So as we spoke about a morning routine, We also have an evening or late evening or a pre-bedtime routine. And these are important to try and maintain consistency in these habits. So these practices will help you have a better quality of sleep. And by doing so, you will boost your immune system. If we have our sleep is affected, or if it's dysregulated, or if it's erratic, or if it's inconsistent, we're clearly going to have an impact on our immune system. The next area is exercise. Now, exercise obviously is beneficial. It helps us to release accumulated tension within our bodies. It helps us to move our joints, which we need, and improve circulation. It helps us. It helps promote your digestion, improves your digestion, and it boosts your natural detoxification mechanism. For instance, through sweating, we get rid of toxins through sweating, and it encourages the proper elimination and of the body waste products. And it helps us with sleep as well if we're exercising appropriately. If we're not exercising at all, we can go to bed feeling lethargic and not tired enough to sleep, so to speak, and you get a poor quality of sleep as a result. Now, Ayurveda looks at exercise in a very nuanced way, in a sense that Vata people should really only engage in light exercise, such as walking, yoga, or dance, and not really be doing exercise that involves a lot of movement, such as jogging or, say, a type of Zumba or aggressive type aerobic exercises. Now, Pitta people who are naturally more competitive and hot-tempered and would suit exercises which involve more flow, more gracefulness, such as swimming or even skateboarding, skiing, surfing, rather than competitive sports or even individual or team sports, and are sports that are both strenuous exercise, such as weightlifting, and then it's essentially more severe forms of exercise they should better avoid. And kapha type of individuals, as I've said before, these have profound, they have a higher stamina level and endurance level, and they can exercise for long periods of time at a low level, but they really need, and for kapha, they need short, sharp bursts of regular exercise rather than long periods of slow exercise. So it's the opposite of their dosha characteristics that they need to focus on when they're doing exercise. Walking is an excellent exercise for everybody, even kapha, as long as they don't start walking for hours and hours. They just need frequent short walks. Frequent short kind of high intensity walks would be most best for kapha. But for pitta and vata, a nice relaxing walk for 20, 30, 40 minutes is perfectly suitable. So we'll take a short break now, and I'll come back in the last section to discuss some herbal remedies, herbal medications, and herbs and spices that you can use to help boost immunity, as well as some stress reduction and mindfulness practices that you can incorporate into your routine, which have been shown to, in Ayurveda, to have a beneficial effect on boosting your immunity and maintaining your overall vitality and health. See you back very shortly after a few minutes.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise. Elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to the show, which today is all about Ayurveda and community. And immunity, as I explained in Ayurveda, essentially means your vitality, your resilience. Now, in the last parts of the show, I discussed the importance of sleep and appropriate exercise and diet, as well as incorporating a positive daily routines, habits, particularly in relation to morning routine, in order to be able to develop your immunity and protect your immunity and maintain that vitality to keep you in optimum health. In this part of the show, I will discuss the herbal medications that you can try. And once again, it's always most appropriate in this case to discuss with an Ayurvedic practitioner, because not all herbs will suit each individual case. But there are a number of herbs in the Ayurvedic tradition that have been recognized to support immunity, and particularly to help with lung function, because a lot of the infections we get can be through the passage of our airways and in our lungs. So one of these is called Jivanaprash, which is a traditional herbal jam, which is made of the amalaki fruit and several other herb preparations. It's a rich source in vitamin D and antioxidants. Now, it also has a balancing effect and on your digestion. It helps kindle or it helps spark or enhance your digestion, but it can balance it at the same time, as well as having an immune boosting action. And it has a recognized effect on your enhancing your vitality and your overall well-being as a result. Another herb that's often listed is a herb called Sitrapaladi. And this is a herb which helps with the proper functioning of your lungs and your sinuses or your airways. And it encourages what's called expectoration, which is when you're trying to cough and get rid of mucus in your airway passages and your sinuses. It also has an effect on enhances your digestive fire and allows you to burn off any extra kapha dosha or any of that extra water and earth that you elements that we can absorb through our food. It promotes a clear and a healthy respiration. So your airways are cleared with this action, and it's often used for coughs and for shortness of breath. And any chronic rhinitis, which is when you get flu from your nose, with sinusitis, and asthma as well. Now, pipali is always mentioned in terms of immune boosting action, and pipali is basically the different peppers, like black peppers, and these are pungent in their action and heating in their effects.
So it stimulates your metabolism, as I've explained before. Pepper is often used as a enhance digestion or stimulate digestion, and it helps remove any toxins that accumulate from undigested food. And it also is an excellent tonic for the lungs. So quite often, if I'm taking a ginger honey and lemon drink in the morning, adding a little bit of pepper to it can have this heating action, and can, even if you don't have a cold or you don't have congestive symptoms, it can help you with your breathing and help you with the feeling of your airways being ropey. And it is very, very good, of course, as well for the pitta dosha, in that it nourishes the blood and it promotes circulation and supports a healthy liver, which are all important aspects of maintaining a good immunity and developing that critical urge, as we talked about, in order to do so. Guiducci is another herbal medication that has long been recognized to have a powerful effect on the tissues, to strengthen tissues and bolster immunity. And it helps, it's one of these ones that has this effect upon the nervous system, and that it helps with the proper function of the nervous system, which is really important for Vata. And Vata is the master dosha when it comes to the movement and the movement of the within the channels of the body, particularly the channels of the mind. So those are just an example of a few different types of herbal medications that have traditionally been used in Ayurveda to help boost the immune system. Now, herbs, which you probably more likely to have heard of, that you can find and you may have them in your kitchen cabinet, which have been noted to have an immune boosting effect, are turmeric. Everybody talks about turmeric these days. It's been recognized for many thousands of years in Ayurveda to bolster the immune system and to help the brain. So it purifies the blood and promotes clear and healthy skin. And of course, I mentioned that it's used quite often for cuts and sores on the skin to help promote healing. It strengthens the immune system. It strengthens the digestion as well. And it helps with this process of eliminating natural toxins, which can develop from the digestion of food, particularly if digestion isn't very strong. It also has an effect on nourishing the joints and soothing the joints. So if there's any stiffness in the joints or any inflammation, it can help with the movement of the joints. And garlic has also been recognized, even in the Western world, as an immune boosting product or substance. It promotes digestion again. It helps get rid of natural toxins, and it helps support the lungs and clears that excess katha or congestion that can accumulate, which can make us at this time of the year, which can make us more likely to get an infection, particularly a lung infection. And of course, ginger. Ginger has always been known to stimulate, support the immune system. It also has an effect on enhancing digestion. And by enhancing digestion, helps this process of burning the toxins, which can accumulate if your food is undigested. Ginger is often used in hot drink remedies for coughs and colds, because it helps with this process of expectoration, which is when you need to cough up any excess mucus in your lungs. And it also has a cleansing action on the blood and on the lymph channels, which we need to be functioning properly in order to eliminate waste products. So it also encourages healthy circulation and sweating. And that also helps remove toxins from your system. So those are just a few simple herbs that you may have heard of that have an immune boosting effect, and they're well worth considering adding to your meals, or even taken in drinks form in the case of turmeric and in the case of ginger. Ginger is always best used in the natural form, cut slices of ginger rather than in powder form, or it can be too heating. Turmeric can be used, but care needs to be taken if you're on any anticoagulants, and just use the smallest amount, tiny pinches is plenty. Now, this is where I'll talk about the lifestyle practices that you can incorporate to help boost your immunity. And I've spoken about these before. But minimizing stress is an important strategy in boosting our immune system. We've spoken about how excess stress in previous episodes can have a harmful effect upon your immune system. And this is an example of what happens when you're in the fight or flight or freeze mode, that your immune system isn't working properly. Now, the most commonly recommended practice in Ayurveda is the practice of yoga. And yoga means means in Sanskrit to join or unite. And the exercises have an effect of bringing our body and our mind and our consciousness into balance. More than any other exercise, yoga encapsulates that quality. Moves our prana, our essence around our body. It helps with the clearing stagnation and also dissipating tension within the body. Now, yoga as well, like exercises, certain types of yoga suit certain types of imbalance or certain types of people or certain types of doshas. He explained that the calmer, the gentler, calmer styles, such as the yin restorative types of yoga, which involve more posture-based rather than movement-based exercise, are suitable for vata individuals. And then the more vigorous styles are what we call the vinyasa, where there's a lot of movement between, or movement sequences between different postures, and they're happening quickly. They are more suitable for a kapha person or a person with a kapha imbalance. And pitta people as well should as much as possible avoid this trend of hot yoga, where they're doing it in like a competitive type of practice in an environment where they're sweating and hot. This is most unsuitable for a pitta. Doing it outdoors, doing it in nature, having a calming practice as well is much more helpful for pitta. Then if you're not sure about yoga or you don't know where to start, it's always a great idea to go to a class. You can do taster sessions at a class, and having a teacher show you how to do the different sequences is the best way to do yoga, because you won't harm yourself and you'll learn the movements and learn how to do them correctly. And then you can practice them at home when you get more familiar with them. I've mentioned before the practice of pranayama, which nowadays is spoken of as breath work. This has always been a part of the Ayurvedic daily practice or daily routines that you can incorporate. And I've explained that there are specific breathing techniques for specific types of imbalance, that the alternate nostril breathing or nadi shodhan is a very helpful practice for it to imbalance. And it's a cooling, calming type of breathing practice, which is very simply practiced by occluding one nostril while you breathe in, with opening the same nostril to breathe out, and alternating breathing from one side to another. Now, there are definite benefits that have been shown, not just to the mental health for people who do regular breathwork and pranayama practice, but also to your physical health. And these benefits will follow on into boosting your immune system and enhancing your vitality. So they're stress reduction techniques, but they also have that additional effect where they can help boost your immune system as well. Meditation, once again, is an excellent way to increase your internal vibration and stabilize your moods, and can bring you in touch with your true self. Now, it's been shown in countless scientific studies to have benefits from improved sleep and increasing your mind power and your concentration focus, and also strengthening your immune system. I'm giving you a healthier or more positive response to stressful situations. And even they've shown that people who meditate don't age as quickly as people who don't meditate. And all of these all of these positive effects have an effect, an effect of preserving your ojas and maintaining that ojas, or that vital life force that in Ayurveda is the most important factor in retaining your immunity and your overall health. And even a short practice of a few minutes, 5-10 minutes a day, as we joked about, be beneficial. And if you get into a regular pattern of doing it early in the day, you can set the tone for your day. And there's certainly so much evidence that meditation and breath work, but meditation particularly, is one of the most positive self-care practices that you can institute to help with your overall health.